Fear, treachery, bloodlust. Thousands of years ago, these were the forces that ruled our world, a world where prey were scared of predators, and predators had an uncontrollable, biological urge to maim and maul, and blood, oh, death, dying. Back then, the world was divided in two, vicious predator and meek prey. But over time, we evolved and moved beyond our primitive, savage ways. Now predator and prey live in harmony, and every young mammal has multitudinous opportunities. It may seem impossible to small minds, but just 211 miles away stands the great city of Zootopia, where our ancestors first joined together in peace and declared that anyone can be anything. This is the opening scene of Zootopia. As a little bunny and her school friends put on a play telling the history of what it means to be an animal. And this opening scene does a good job of setting our scene today as well. Now listen, you do not need to have seen Zootopia 1,547 times with your four-year-old, completely hypothetical, to appreciate today's message. You don't even have to have seen Zootopia at all to appreciate the moral of this little bunny's tale. Young Judy Hopps is a bunny who wants to be a police officer. She is a bunny who pushes people's expectations to the limits with her idealistic belief in that phrase that anyone can be anything. Oh, she is doubted, she is questioned, she is judged, she is mocked by every creature she meets. Bunnies can't be cops. I mean, elephants and rhinos and lions, those are animals that become police officers. Judy should simply, you know, hop along and be a carrot farmer like the rest of her 275 brothers and sisters. But just as she defies the odds, she defies the expectations, she proves the skeptics wrong, and not only does she become a police officer, she becomes the best police officer Zootopia's ever seen. At the beginning, because they still won't accept her, they assign her parking duty. And oh, she issues twice as many tickets as the unbelievable number they thought she couldn't reach in the first place. And when she finagles her way into finally getting a real police officer case, one of 14 missing animal cases no one's been able to solve, she solves all 14 in under 48 hours with the help of a con artist fox. Judy Hopps is the embodiment of this phrase that anyone can do anything. And she should be an inspiration to the children and adults that watch this movie. When she's in the shadows, she creates her own spotlight. When she is considered a gamble, she beats the odds. When she is marginalized, she redraws the lines. She is a bunny that cannot be kept down, and she is a reminder that we too have unlimited potential. And not simply occupational potential. The allegory of Zootopia is broad. We can define our destiny. We can claim our passions. We can boldly live as exactly who we were created to be. We need not conform to the expectations and stereotypes and roles that are handed out. Because we are beloved children of God, and anyone can be anything. This inspirational charge of Zootopia is also an inspirational charge reminiscent of Paul's admonition to the people in Galatia when he said, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." I hear Paul in this beautiful scripture telling us, in God's love through Christ, anyone can be anything. Isn't that inspirational? But I don't know about you. I found that there's more to life than inspirational moments. And you know, there's actually more to Zootopia than a story of a bunny who defies the prejudice of the world around her. It's easy to watch the movie and think, well, this is great. Bunny wants to be a police officer. Bunny gets to be a police officer. Bunny's a great police officer. Remember that, kids. You can be anything. Let's move on. But if you listen to the director and writer commentary, as they sat and tried to think of a movie that would mean something, Zootopia is not about Judy overcoming other people's prejudice. Zootopia is a story of Judy overcoming her own prejudices. For as much as she believes that anyone can be anything, that tends to be something she applies to herself more than others. She can be anything, but others, I mean, especially foxes, am I right? I mean, because deep down, they're all the same. Maybe it's the negative experiences she had with a fox as a child. Maybe it's her father's prejudice that she's internalized unconsciously. But when the truth finally comes out, Judy has to confront that she has been claiming the inspiration of anyone can be anything, but not accepting the challenge to apply it to everyone else. Because in her heart, they can't be anything. They are what she believes they are. And perhaps in our hearts too, there are prejudices that we hold. The inspirational call that we are all one in God's love feels great when we apply it to a crowd that we're sitting in. When we look at each other and feel at home. When we're surrounded by people who like us and are like us. But the call to be made one, that inspirational invitation comes with a challenge. If we can be anything, including being loved by God, then anyone can be anything, including being loved by God. Now, I don't know what judgments you hold in your heart. If those biases are socioeconomic, class-based, racial, education-based, political affiliation-based, life experience-based. But I'm talking about whatever them we're judging in our hearts. You know those prejudices that we don't even dare speak aloud because we don't want to name that they might exist in who we are? The words of Paul in the letter to Galatians come out of a very broken place. It's funny, you can hear those words about no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free, and it's like, yes, yes, Paul, say it. But to stop and think about what had to be going on that he had to say that is an important question for all of us to consider. Why did he have to narrate this to that community he was witnessing to? Let me tell you, stuff was really messed up after Jesus left. Big fights about private judgments. Oh, big problems that seemed to arise from this anyone can be anything mentality because they applied it to an us but wouldn't apply it to everyone else. That earliest fight was between Jewish and Gentile Christians. See, the disciples and the earliest converts to Christianity tended to be Jewish Christians. They were Jewish like Jesus was Jewish. They upheld and fulfilled all of those Jewish laws. And then they accepted Christ on top. But after a while, some of the people who were showing up in Christian community were Gentiles. Now, just so you know, that's a term that pretty much means anybody who wasn't Jewish. And so here are these folks that are holding up all of those laws and accepting Christ on top, and the new people are just accepting Christ. Oh, come on, what about all the other work we've done here, people? To connect it to our movie, anyone can be anything as long as they become Jewish first. Follow all the rules and do all the work like the rest of us, and then you can be anything as we've defined it. This was the problem of the early church. The leadership ended up having a huge meeting about it, and it's recorded in the book of Acts. Hear the scripture from Acts 15. The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers," now again, please note that It should be brothers and sisters, but there was some major exclusion, us and them. Anyone can be anything as long as you're a guy thing going on here. Okay. My brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as God did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, God has made no distinction between them and us. I love how clearly this translation puts it. It gives us the them and the us. God has made no distinction between them and us. And while this is a very specific conversation about a very specific moment in the life of the church, this phrase should ring true to us no matter where we find ourselves in the world. God has made no distinction between them and us. Peter, who has had a hard time with the whole Jesus without the Jewish crowd, is one who testifies that God has shown him a better way. He looks at those for whom he has carried prejudice. He looks at those he's made assumptions about, the anyone he didn't believe could be anything group. And he has to look at them and admit that God is present and active in their lives. He may not want to have chosen them that way, but God already has. You see, this is his moment to recognize that anyone can be anything and to realize that that is a challenge as much as it is an inspiration. It's a challenge he is willing to accept as he proclaims God's love for all. And as a congregation that seeks to build a home where all belong, we too are invited to not only hear the inspiration of that, but to accept the challenge in our hearts. This passage from Acts is much like the epilogue in Zootopia, when this bunny who had had to give others the same opportunity she demanded for herself reflects on what she's learned. When I was a kid, I thought Zootopia was this perfect place where everyone got along and anyone could be anything. Turns out real life is a little bit more complicated than a slogan on a bumper sticker. Real life is messy. We all have limitations. We all make mistakes, which means, hey, glass half full, we all have a lot in common. And the more we try to understand one another, the more exceptional each one of us will be. This is the inspiration and the challenge to which we are called. Amen.